Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace. Reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours, it's yours. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours, it's yours. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, April the 13th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon, a little after 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, got a very, very powerful show scheduled for you today. And first off, right off the bat, this is my new believer show. As you know, I don't have a dog in this fight, meaning that in order for you to have something called clarity, in order for you to understand the 5 points that Yahushua, whether you're talking about Yahushua being yourself or Yahushua being David or Jesus the Christ, they all have the same understanding, which is critical thinking leads to experiential knowledge or knowing, which leads to over and understanding, which leads to a mental disposition of being, which leads to doing, which leads to having. So today we want to talk about the two messiahs that nobody's never heard of. That's why, again, this is not a new believer show. As you know, most of the informing or information that I understand is most people don't have access to it because you can't access something you already got. Let me say that again. You can't access new information if you already got. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. It's really interesting. Again, critical thinking doesn't exist. I wish it did, because then I would probably be not necessarily out of business, but that would be a lot of people saying the exact same thing that I'm saying. Because when you read or you expose yourself to basic that's not basic, meaning the key to knowledge is to not having a dog in the fight. The key to being aware, the key to being total awareness, the key to being born in the month of September, which gives you total awareness, is you usually start in the dark and you stay there until you get tired of being there. So everybody, you are where you are at because that's where you want to be. And so regardless of where you're at, you're there because you want to be there. So the key to all knowledge is not having a dog in the fight. Now, what does that mean? That's the same Greek word for the English word truth, which means aletheia in the Greek. So in order for you to understand, you can't put new wine in an old wine skin. The thing that changed my life, the thing that makes me different from pretty much just about everybody that I know, is I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't come to an argument or a discussion or a debate with a preconceived or a predetermined disposition. So if you have a predetermined disposition called a belief system, then you are unable to put any more or anything else in that belief system. If you got a cup full of water, if you add more water, it overflows. The person pops or busts. So that's why most people that's listening to the sound of my voice today, what I'm about to say, because you already got something in the cup. Now, people always told me it was dangerous back in January 1st of 2009 when I went through my true encounter with the living God, not the one of the Bible. That's when my life changed, because my life changed when I knew. Now, I already knew this since childhood. I watched all my grandparents. I watched my mother, my father. My father, you know, even to this day, my father is one of the wisest men I know because he hates religion. He never go to church, never been to church. He used to always ask, I don't know why y'all niggas do that stuff. And I remember, like, I never really lived with my father for that long. By the time I was there, I really wasn't there. So as you guys have heard the story, you know, I never really got, like, my father's second wife, Betty Sue, was, I used to come there and do Bible studies. And my dad was sitting in the living room and he would ask, you know, he would be listening, but then he would come in and he would interject. And he would say certain things that I couldn't answer. That's all I knew, and it was really interesting because to this day, my father still—he's pretty much outlived everybody who was religious, and he's still around. And again, my father knows none of the stuff that I know. None. And when I talk to my father, it's really interesting because my father doesn't have none of the problems that everybody that I know have, all the religious people, because my father's very accepting. He right now, there's, you know, kids taking care of him. That's not even his own kids. They come by, they check on him, they bring him lunch, dinner. None of his own kids. We don't really. My sister, you know, because she lives there, so she's there and she goes by, check on, pay for him, help him with bills and that kind of stuff, take him to the doctor. Me and my brothers, we don't call, we don't go by. He wasn't really instrumental in our life. My sister gets a little upset sometimes, but the thing that stands out about my father is that my father's not a religious dude. He's a very basic kind, but everybody likes my father. He goes in where he goes, people know him. He knows people. And out of all of my father's brothers and sisters and everybody that's in our family on my mother's side, they're very religious. I remember my mom died, and we was all supposed to meet up at my grandmother's house, and we stopped at this store called Doja's, and we grabbed some to eat. By the time we went there and got there, the other members of the family had beat us there, went through all of my grandmother's belongings, and basically took what they wanted. You're talking about cutthroat. Like, my family, man, on my mother's side is like, and they're all religious. Everybody sings, everybody preaches. Everybody, religious people, church people are the most evil people I know. It just blows my mind that people can be saved by a God of love and have so much hate. I've never seen it. Even when I was saved, and I think about how I talked to people. I think about how my mindset was, and I ask myself, I'm like, wow, God, how could I have been so much of a religious zealot? I remember, man, telling people that if they didn't, that they was going to die and go to hell, and they was going to do this and that. And I remember, you know, when I first got saved, that had my car riding around San Antonio with my Jesus Saves on it, and going downtown to the Sam Shelter, the church under the bridge, and I was walking downtown talking to homeless people, and I was so zealous. I had all zeal and I had no knowledge. Now that I had no knowledge, I cringe at when I come into people that like me. See, most people don't know my story. They don't know where I came from. Even my brothers and sisters, they wasn't with me in Richmond. None of them was there. I remember I used to get my ass whooped every day, and I used to call my brother Glenn, and I said, man, and he said, bro, I can't do nothing for you, man. I'm in Forsyth, you're in Richmond. You got to figure it out for yourself, man. And I remember those times. I remember walking down the streets of Richmond by myself. I remember hiding out because, you know, these dudes, you know, older than me, you know, this guy named Ken Washington, George McGee, this dude named Chin, all these dudes from my childhood. You know, they used to pick on me all the time. The dudes I live with, this fool's still in prison to this day. His name is Bruce. That, you know, they used to beat me up every day. Then I got tired of getting my ass whooped every day. And I remember crying all the time. I remember, I was just a poor critter, man. I was just lost, confused. And I remember crying out to God and nothing. I didn't hear anything. The only thing that I got was that I had to figure it out for myself. I had to start thinking critically. I had to outthink. I wasn't a big dude. When I played football, I was the littlest dude on the field. I look back and I don't even know how I played. I was only 5'5", 150 pounds. I was like a senior. And then these dudes was twice, but I never left the field until I blew up my knee. I always played because of the tenacity. But I had no knowledge. I've always had tenacity. I've always had bull. That's what got me through the Marine Corps. I fight anybody. I might get knocked out, but I'm gonna get back up. But then as I got older, I realized that my bulldog tenacity, it wasn't necessarily a gift to brag about. So I had to get something, but I didn't know what to get. So I just went with what I was taught. I never questioned the narrative. I never questioned the frame. I just looked at the picture. I never asked who framed the narrative. I just took the picture. I never asked a question about Jesus Christ and crucified. Never, ever, until January the 1st of 2009. I never investigated it. I've never done, and you probably ain't either. And I talk to Christians every day. And I just laugh at them because I feel sorry for them. Because what they got is a narrative that was given to them by the dominant culture. They have no history. Now, again, I'm a Willie Lynch Negro. I went through getting read it. All 21 steps to make a good house Negro, that was me. Everything that Willie Lynch, a dumb, strong in body, weak in mind, marry outside of your race, you know, no black history, no black culture, you know, friends, you know, see the dominant culture as your savior. And again, this is not about race. This is about narrative, brother. This is not about race. This is about the narrative, sister. It just so happened that the harmonious arrangement that the dominant culture, the people that freaking write the books, just happen to be Caucasian. But it ain't got nothing to do with race. It has to do with the dominant culture. It has to do with Ephesians 6. It has to do with this harmonious arrangement. It has to do that you better understand who is Samael, who is the blind God. You might want to do some freaking research and understand who are the Atlanteans, who were the Assyrians. You might want to understand what age are we in. We're getting out of the Piscean age and we're going into a whole new age. And if you look back throughout all of history, you will see that this is cyclical. There is, like it says, like Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. So what I'm sharing with you today, this is not new. This is all old stuff. It is so old and it's so ancient that now when I look back at it, I was like, wow. But the father said, the forefather, the father's father said that you couldn't see because you thought you was already seeing. That's what the Bible says. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Brothers and sisters, now how can you think outside the box and you don't even know you're in a box? Now think for a moment, man. This is critical thinking 101, critical thinking. Every book, everything you got from a book. You got from somebody else. Everything. This entire arrangement, it is an unauthorized production. Unauthorized. If you go all the way back, as I've already done in the previous series that I started with in January of 2019, when I started with the first series, do you guys remember that first series that we did? The Cosmogrator. And we talked about the cosmology of the Cosmogrator. Remember the book that I sent out to everybody, The Ontological History of Mankind and Planet Earth? That's an 800-page book that I wrote about 5-10 years ago, 800 pages. And I've never sold that book. The first time I gave it out was to the members who paid the $250, $500. That's why. Why is that book $500? Because I don't want nobody to read it. I really don't want to sell that book. I really don't, because I like for people, because then people are mad at me. And people have never talked about, why is mankind called mankind? Why are we called mankind? And why is that Homo erectus, Homo gigantuan, Homo neanderthal, Homo sapien. Why are there so many different types of men? And I proved it to everybody reading Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. In your Bible, if you look at the definition of the three men that came before Abraham and Sarah, I triple dared every believer that I know on the planet to look it up. All I got back was crickets. Because it's right there in the Bible. Those are not men. When they went to Lot, they came into Lot's house, and Lot went to meet them before they got to the city gates. And Lot offered them his daughters that was virgins. And they said, no, we don't want them. We want men. Those were not men. A lot of people that listen to my voice, you think you're a man or a woman, but you're not. You're what they call an organic portal. Now, that's not your fault. It is what it is. Now, when I worked in the supermax in the penitentiary in New Mexico in Santa Fe, that's when I got my education. And see, unless you worked in the supermax, unless you looked the devil in the eye like I did, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Because men, y'all haven't been around that level of evil. Until you see a man, then you see 19, 20 men jump one man, shove a mop handle up his butt, chop off his head, walk around with it in their hands and use it as an ashtray. Until you see the level of evil that is basically allowed by the quote unquote God of this world, who you think is God, but it's not God. I've challenged everybody. Now, again, you got to have experiential knowledge. It can't be book knowledge. So without experience, unless you've been to a seance, unless you've actually been a blood orgy, not just an orgy, a blood orgy. I went to one. Until you've been, until you sit down and talk to witches. I know witches. They're my friend on Facebook. We talk all the time. The spells and potions and stuff, they don't work on me. It was just like in the movie Dark Tower. I told everybody, if you're 11, watch that movie. Because the gunslinger, you know, he's bullets. The word of God, again, fiery darts. The movie Gunslinger, they're trying to tell you something. The world, the evil, as long as the gunslinger was on the planet. And remember how the guy who was played by Matthew McConaughey, the bad guy, the devil, he could not get to the gunslinger, but he got to his father. He killed his father, but he couldn't. He said that my potions and my spells don't work on you. But there was a reason why his potions and his spells didn't work on him. The same reason why the potions and the spells doesn't work on Yahushua. The real one. Because he has a true, authentic understanding of self. Clarity of self, which is clarity of the eye. That's why it's called a pineal guy. That's why all over the globe there's pine cones. That's why 100,000 years ago there's freaking markings on the wall with a dude with a bird head with a pine cone in his hand. Every ancient text, there's pine cones that represent the pineal gland. We read Genesis 30, where Joseph wrestled with the angel, and he called that place where he saw God face to face, pineal. And we did that in a private show. I can't talk about that in public because, again, people who talk about this stuff in public, they come up missing. Everybody who teach what I teach, just openly, on any venue, they always come up missing. Why is that? Can somebody explain? Why is John Allegro dead? He's not, you know, why is he like not here no more? Because he was talking about the same thing I'm talking about. Now, this dude was licensed and ordained by the Vatican, preached his entire life. He read one book from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then he denounced everything that he knew, and he wrote a book called Anima Scaria, The Sacred Mushroom. And he destroyed Christianity. And then he ended up dead. Now, if you never heard of John Allegro, please go to Google at your convenience, of course. Just type in the word John Allegro. Don't even read his book. You ain't got to read a book. Just read, what did John Allegro do? If you go to, you want to go, if you don't like reading, go to YouTube. Type in John Allegro in YouTube, and then just watch the video. Read what his daughter. His daughter don't have his daughter does not have his dad. He's not here no more. They can't go out. They can't kick it. They can't do anything. All because of one reason. Now you have to think. The copper scroll has not been induced. No man on earth. That shizness is underneath the Vatican. So you should ask yourself a question. The problem I have, brothers and sisters, before we get into this at all, the problem I have is that common sense is not common. How in the hell can a man who's a scholar, who's known all over the world, who's traveling, he's radio shows, he's done all this stuff, and then he writes, he goes, now he was commissioned and paid by the Vatican, but because he did not go along with everything else that the Vatican endorsed, he comes up missing. He slips off the back of a train. And now his daughter's left to carry on, and she's in hiding somewhere. So why would that? Now, come on, man. Why would somebody give you a narrative if it's the narrative? Do you think the dominant culture, do you think that this harmonious arrangement, do you think that everything that whatever's going on in Ephesians, now I'm not even gonna really get into the truth because y'all can't even handle it. Not you can't handle it, but there's the people in the private show, because again this is a public venue, so this goes go over all of the venues over YouTube and so on and so forth. So I gotta kind of talk in circles just a little bit because I want to see my grandkids and all that good stuff. So let me make sure you understand, because it's really interesting. Now I only get death threats and hate mail when I start talking about this kind of stuff. It's really interesting. Now, as long as I'm talking about money, as long as I'm talking about, you know, a black power, you know, kill whitey, or I'm talking about, you know, health, fitness, and that kind of stuff, great. But the moment I start talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified, Christians who love God and Jesus, they want to put their hands on my throat. But they love God, though. They go to church every Sunday and turn over every chair. But they will hurt you. Now, remember, I used to be a believer. I didn't read about them in a book. I was a religious zealot. And if you would have told me what I'm giving to tell you, back when I was a licensed and ordained preacher, walking around here in the streets of San Antonio, young, dumb, and stupid, I would have tried to hurt you. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I don't debate. I don't debate. I just educate. Why do we have to defend what we believe? Because it's not the belief system, it's our personality. See, we associate, now there's a whole psychology behind it, and I've done many shows on behavioral psychology. I got all the, you know, we can talk about that another time. So without your belief system, there is no you. Like when I got into the Marine Corps, that's all I knew. So the Marine Corps gave me a uniform, they gave me a title, and they gave me everything. So when I left the Marine Corps, it was like, okay, who am I now? Because I didn't have no identity. I had no identity. My pineal gland, the pineal gland is the third eye. Notice it's E-Y-E, but it's really, it's the letter I. So it's the third you, me, myself, and I. So without identifying I, whoever I is, whoever you are, because that's who you are, that's your spirit. But that's in the inner verse. Right now you live in the universe. You live in the outer verse. You never went into the holies of holies. It's again the sphenoid bone. You haven't went into the holies of holies. That's why, as I talked about before, in all of the ancient texts, the word Christ means the oil that comes up, that's stored in your sacrum, and it comes up the middle of your spine. In all of the ancient texts, it doesn't refer to a person or a title. In all of the ancient texts, it talks about the sacral or the sacral plexus, which is a little bit below the solar plexus. It talks about that is released by the pineal gland and the pituitary gland that goes down or goes up the spinal cord. It talks about that the pineal gland releases an electrical current, and the pituitary gland. Now, this is all biologically proven. That's why I majored in biology. That's why I majored in cosmology. That's why I majored in theology, because I know a three-stranded cord cannot easily be broken. So I know. I didn't read about this in the book. I know it because I've done it myself. So everything that they say to do, I've did. So right now, again, I do a rotation diet. I do distilled water because God uses distilled water, because the water comes down. Now, remember, before the flood, water came up. We did that show already in Genesis. Now, then I'm trying to talk to you about stuff that's hidden in plain sight that you don't see, because what I'm getting ready to share with you about the two messiahs is hidden in plain sight, but you've never seen it. So in the Bible, it says that the water came up. Then after the flood was the first time that they had ever seen rain. And then it said the water came down. It comes down, it pools, the sun hits the water. It turns the water into steam. The water goes up. It collects and condenses in a cloud. And then it comes back down. That is a distillation process. That's distilled water. So that's God's system in place. So I only use God systems. I don't use man-made cisterns that they talk about in Jeremiah. So we have cisterns, but they can't hold water. We got broken cisterns. Those cisterns are our systems. So all of these systems that we got are broken, because the whole universe is not the universe. It's the universe that was, again, Barbello in the ancient text. We call it Sophia, which is another word for wisdom, which is another word for femininity. That's why there's no vowels in Hebrew, because that's feminine. So A-E-I-O-U. That's what the Maserat Jews took out of the Hebrew language. Now, all of this is just basic history, but most people don't understand it because they haven't been exposed to it. So when you see the word Christ in the Bible, you think it's talking about a person. When you see the word Christ in the Bible, like when I see the word Christ in the Bible, I know it's not talking about a person. I know it's talking about the oil that's in the middle of my back that goes up and down my spine and it goes into my brain. Then it connects with the CSF, which I've written a 400-page book that explains cerebrospinal cord fluid. And I know that my spinal cord is a chord. It's a musical note. It's like playing chords on it as an instrument. That's why I got organs in my body, because they make a frequency. And the big G, the forefather, plays, he sends a frequency. That's why in the Bible, the word father means patar. The word patar means generator. The generator is the sender of the frequency. Me and you, we are the receivers of the signal. That's why we got a spinal cord. It's our spiritual antenna. So unless we connect with the frequency that has been sent by the patar, we got the wrong frequency. We connect with the wrong heart, so we got the wrong belief. We got the wrong cistern, so it can't hold water. And so without understanding that, everybody has a belief. I had one. For 50-plus years of my life, I had a belief. But I didn't have no faith. I didn't have no fruit, and I didn't have no freedom. I worked for somebody else. Now, it's really interesting that the people that are the most religious are the most dependent upon the government or something outside of themselves. They're not self-sufficient. They can't generate, you know, currency. Not that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's really interesting that they claim they have faith. Now, I've been walking by faith all my life. I quit 58 jobs. Just walked in, you pissed me off. I'm just like my father. My father the same way. Like, yeah, boy, I couldn't keep no job either. So I knew I like money, though, so I knew that I had to find a way to generate a current so that way I could keep money so I could pay my bills. So I had to go to the forefather and find out, okay, Father, how do I generate capital? Because the system is controlled by Ephesians 6:12. So all of this is an unauthorized production. So everything I'm getting ready to share with you is just really is just another rabbit trail. But it's a good rabbit trail. Why is this a good rabbit trail? Because it takes you closer to the rabbit trail. What is the ultimate rabbit trail? The word pleroo. That's inside of your Bible, P-L-E-R-O-O. Go to Google and type it in. And everywhere in the Bible where you see the pleroo, that's talking about the pleroma that the Gnostics overstood. That's again, as all of the ancient texts that I've read from, and it talks about, again, the invisible one, the forefather. Now, the father, that's what everybody got on this earth. That's the one in the Bible. But his father, that's why there's a king that everybody got, but then his king. There's a Lord that everybody got, but then that's his Lord. So that's why Yahushua talk about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. So there is a higher, there's another level. But most people never get to that level. So the father is really the forefather. The father's father is profound because he know that most people don't have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I didn't have it. That's why I know. So when I find people, they have a love of verifying their belief. They don't have a love of the truth. So I don't have a dog in a fight. I do not care, honestly. As everybody, all my clients know, I could care less if Jesus is God or the devil is God. I could care less because I didn't create the system. I just want to know how it works. So that's all I did. So when it comes to making money, I don't care if, you know, who makes the money. I don't care if the Federal Reserve is a part of the government or not. I don't care about none of that crap. All I know is that I just want to make sure I pay my light bill on time. See, when you detach from having an emotional connection with your belief system, that's when you find the truth. See, you cannot find the proof when you're trying to prove yourself, and you cannot find the proof when the proof is the self. See, your religion is yourself. Without your religion, who are you? Now think, and without your skin, who are you? If you're a black man, everything that you know is your black culture. See, I didn't know nothing about black history until I was in my 30s, so I had no culture. That's why it was so easy for me to marry outside of my race. It was so easy for me to do the things that I did, because I had no allegiance, I had no system, I had no belief system. The only thing that I had was a religious system. That was the only thing that held me for so long. Once I got rid of my religious system, bam, that's when I walked into truth. That's when the light came on, because then everything made sense. because I got out of religion. And once I let go of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, Brother Will, but why would you do that, man? Okay, I read in the Bible, in your Bible, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, which is my favorite scriptures, especially now, and which I challenge. I haven't had nobody been able to, no reverend, no doctor, no bishop has ever been able to explain to me what does that mean, the call to maturity. I've not had no preacher. And this challenge has been out for a good 20 years now, before I even knew what I was doing. I just knew in my gut that the system I had was flawed. Because why? Because, see, a lot of people, they play church. See, when I went to church, when I was like, see, I went to offer and I cried like a newborn baby. I believed like a newborn baby. I was a zealot. I would have took a bullet. I mean, I would have done Jim Jones type stuff. That's how stupid I was. I was so stupid that I'm telling you, if my pastor would have told me, Negro, drink this Kool-Aid, I would have drunk it. That's how stupid I was. I mean, I was so, man, it's a travesty. I pray to God that nobody is as stupid as I was. I just had total blind faith. Telling y'all, I'm telling you, man, I looked at one year, I gave $40,000 to the church, and we was homeless. And my poor first wife, man, she used to tell me all the time, why are you giving the rent money? I said, hey, don't you got faith? Don't you believe God? And I never forget, man, the last time, right before I left, we was like $300 short of the rent. And I remember asking the pastor and his wife, hey, can we borrow $300? You know, I'll pay you back. And I'll never forget this. He looked me in the eye and he says, where's your faith? Nigga, I just gave you $40,000 last year. That's what my faith is at, in your pocket. That's when I knew the system was whack. And that, from that day on, I've never been the same. Because I saw deep behind the system. I'm not saying people. I'm saying the system. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities. See, that's when I started dealing with spirit. That's when I became a metaphysician. That's when I knew that fighting individuals wasn't going to get me anywhere. That's when my whole life changed. Because then I stopped taking it personal. Now, I don't take anything personal. If somebody disliked me, I know it's not me. I know it's my rhetoric. I know that they don't have the experience that I have. I know that their mama didn't die when they was little. I know that nobody in their family, they probably, if their mom did die, there was somebody in the family that took them in. I know that their father didn't lock them out their own house when they was 13. I know that they didn't get jumped in the park by six people when they was a kid and they had nobody to help them. I know that I know that they go to school funky every day, and if it wasn't for taking showers in first period, I know that the only food that they, I know that they ain't lived my life. So I know that they ain't walked in my shoes. So I know they cannot relate. That's the only way you can talk about an issue that you know nothing about. That's the only way. So I know that there was people they wasn't raised in basically a cult like I was. They didn't watch their mother do crazy stuff. Like this lady could pick this up on the weekend and we was gone for 2 or 3 days. And I didn't understand, we was kids. And they're like, we was forced to fast and do all this crazy stuff. And I was just like, you know, they didn't experience that. So I know that the God the God that I experienced, he wasn't a God of love. It was like, I didn't say, I got a little love for my mama, but that was about it. Everything, my life has been hard, but I'm thankful because now I see all of these, like, I had to go down and talk to my sister's son, my little nephew, and like all these privileged kids, even my own kids. I had to chew my own kids out. They kind of tell me, what y'all doing? What? They have so much affluence, they don't know what it's like to go through any adversity. And that is not religion. That is not God. Now, so what are we talking about? I'm talking about Hebrews 6:1. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, I did not write that. The author of the book of Hebrews, Paul, whoever wrote it, that's what he wrote. In the King James, it says this way, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Okay, how do we go on to perfection? Not laying again the foundation of repentance. So first of all, it has to be laid. So once you lay the foundation, like if you build in the house, once you lay the foundation, you don't keep laying it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, that's why we can't go on to the two messiahs. That's why we can't go on. All the stuff I'm talking about is not the foundation. So I'm not talking about the foundation. Now, I'm not saying I don't have a foundation. I'm just saying I'm not talking about it anymore because the Bible says that we need to go on to perfection. So we shouldn't be talking about the foundation. But yet every reverend, doctor, bishop I know, Every Sunday they talk about the foundation as if we don't know the foundation. So we got to know the foundation because a lot of people don't know the foundation. So it tells us very specifically in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, let us leave. Now, I recommend that you look up that word leave because it's a very powerful word. It's similar to the word divorce. The elementary teachings about Christ. Now, that means that everybody listening to me, what I'm talking about, we should not be talking about. So why are we talking about it? Because I'm talking about it because everybody keep asking. A lot of people ask me about it, or a lot of people talk about it. Because at my level, the people in the secret societies, like they contact me on the DL. Like if I could give y'all the name, because they say, hey man, just don't tell nobody. But you know, we thought you was a Mason. No, well, we know you can't be skulls and crossbones because they don't let Negroes in there. Yeah, that is true. Well, you can't be the Thalamic Order of the Golden Dawn because they don't let Negroes in there either. That is true. You can't be part of the Templars because, your blood type is A positive and you ain't got O blood. That is true. Well, how do you know all the stuff that we know? They're like, well, did somebody teach you on the DL? No, they did not. So how do you know all this stuff? I got it straight from the source. I got it from the Father. So the stuff that I talk about is only taught in most secret societies. Why is it a secret? Because they want to keep you in religion. Religion is for poor people to keep poor people from killing the rich people. Because if the poor people really knew the truth, everybody would be going into the north side of town or the rich part of town and you'd be stringing them fools up. Because, they know the truth. Even if they don't know it, they do know it. What is the truth? The truth is that everything that you got is designed to keep you, again, just like why they give you fluoride. Why? It keeps you docile. Everything in your food keeps you docile. That's why you got fast food. That's why I do detoxes. And that's why? So that way I can activate my pineal gland so I can see. Now, I know you might not believe none of that stuff, but because I've done it. That's why I do watermelon fast. Nothing but watermelon. Nothing else. That's why I do some distilled water and lime only. Why? The flush out. Like Dr. Sabin says, why is Dr. Sabin not here? Why did he get caught with $30,000 in his pocket? Now, I didn't know it was a crime to have money. Did y'all know that? I didn't. So apparently it's a crime for a black man to carry large sums of money because he got detained. They put him in a cell. They measured that they say really cold and there was water and he had no shoes on. Dr. Sabin was 75, almost 80 years old, still popping out babies. And it's prime of his health. And you mean tell me this dude who cured every disease known to man died of pneumonia? Come on, man. What I look like? I fell off the back of a truck. But everybody's buying it. Now that dude was he had too much gnosis, so they had to get him off the planet. So that's what happens when you start sharing stuff like this, which tell people let's stop talking about what we're talking about. Let's stop talking about laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. Let's stop, and faith in God. What, we're not supposed to talk about that anymore? No. Instructions about baptism. I know a lot of Reverend Bishops, Dr. Bishop, that's all they talk about. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, that pretty much covers everything that every reverend, doctor, bishop that I know every Sunday, that's all they talk about. That's all they got. They don't talk about none of the stuff I talk about. Why is that? Because they haven't went on past. They're still on first base. The object of the game is not to get on first base or even get on the team. The object of the game of baseball is you hit the ball, you run the first base, second base, third base, and then you go to home plate, and the umpire says you're saved. Or safe. That is the object of the game. The object of the game is just not to get on first base. So all the stuff that we're doing, teaching about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, laying on of hands, baptism, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, we shouldn't be doing all those things. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. So the Father wants us to do something, and that is to do more than what we're doing. Go deeper. So that's what I do. So every morning I wake up and say, Father, show me what nobody else wants to see. And He shows me. And one of the things that He showed me was, see this Messiah. And I've talked about this. I talked about the Flavians. I talked about Vespasian. I talked about Titus. I talked about Domitian. I talked about all of these, all of those guys that was part of the Roman cult that rewrote the true historical "quote unquote Jesus that actually walked around, whose name was Yeshua ben Yosef or Yeshua ben Joseph. But then there was also, as you guys may or may not know, that in the book of Zechariah and a lot of books in the Bible, it talks about one Messiah and two comings. You know, the first coming, that's when he suffered. And the second coming is when he reigns as king. So the first coming is when he dies on the cross. Now, we all, everybody that's my clients, you already know what that means esoterically. That means inside. And we all know what that means exoterically. That means outside. Because Jesus only taught in parables. He only taught in parabole, which is the Greek word that means allegory. Which is an allegory, it means I'm going to talk about fish, but really I'm talking about men. Or I'm going to talk about seeds, but really I'm talking about your faith. So Yahushua only taught in allegories. He used one thing that was teaching you about another thing. But a lot of people say, if you take the allegory and you make it personified, that means that you make it personal. That means that you make it real. That means that you don't see the allegory. You don't see how I could be talking about fish, but really I'm talking about people. So if you can't see that, you think the story is literally. So you take the stories literal. And so when you see the destroyer in the Old Testament and the blood testament, the blood over the door and the children coming out of Egypt, you take that literal. You don't know that the word destroyer means Apollyon. The word Apollyon, again, talks about the Nibiru. The word Nibiru, again, talks about a astrological or planetary event that came and wiped out a bunch of people. And so we don't connect the cosmology because we don't study astrology and astronomy and cosmology to see that all the names in the Bible are also in the sky. But if you don't study cosmology and the cosmos, then you take it literal. You don't know that it is a parable or that it is an allegory. And so Messiah ben Yosef and Messiah ben David. So Messiah ben Yosef is the suffering Christ or the suffering Messiah. And the Messiah ben David is the reigning or the glorifying Messiah. The Messiah represents an anointing or an age or an aeon, an A-E-O-N that it talked about in the Bible. Now, I talked about this before. The current aeon that we were in was the Piscean aeon with two fish. And the two fish, again, represents this particular cosmological event that has to do with what I call cognitive dissonance. That's why everybody has it, meaning left brain, right brain. It's polarity, two fish, two poles, the number 11. That's what people, as I've been saying in all my private lessons and all my clients who are 11s, y'all already know because y'all living it. Every 11, I don't know not one 11 that their life don't mentally suck. That's what bipolar is. And I know because I supposedly had it. But yet I function very well, even though I was clinically diagnosed down here at the University of Texas in Austin when I went to see the psych. You know, 20 years ago, I was having a meltdown, and I was just like, man, I want to change my life. I was doing everything that I knew to do, but my life wasn't changing. I still couldn't keep a job. I still couldn't stop cheating. I still couldn't stop beating my kids. I still could not. I was just an angry little dude. So I went to the psych. And they said, well, dude, well, you know what? We don't even know how you've been functioning this long. You got bipolar 5. And at that time, there's only 4 levels of bipolar. I was like, really? They're like, yep, you need to be hospitalized. Here we got some medication for you. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't do pharmacare. And I left. Ain't been back since. And my life is great. Because I did what I'm asking you to do. And that is to go directly to the source yourself and ask the Father, Father, if this is not the system, can you please show me what is the system? That's all I did. And then he showed me the truth, not King James Version. And the truth is stranger than fiction. Because the truth takes you all the way back to the Pleroma and the Pleru. Now, the Gnostics, they overstood. They had it right. That's why they killed them all. And they called them witches. And they burned them at the book. And they burned them at the stake with their books. That's called the Crusades. That was done by Christians. Even though they were Catholics primarily. But why? Why would you kill somebody just because they got a different belief system as you? That's what being a religious zealot does. So once you understand the first coming of Christ represents the cross, the second coming of Christ represents the crown. Once you understand the cross and the crown, and you understand that this is dispensations, not dispensationalism that's talked by the church. This is an aeon or an age that it talks about in all of the ancient texts. So what, that's one thing I like about Santos Banacucci, Banacachi, that gets into, and again, I'm not really a big fan of astral theology, but I love astral theology from the perspective of helping Christians understand cosmology. Because the mystery of Christ has two, what I call, adventions. It's two, but yet it's one. So when we talk about Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David, it's not as everything, it's a personification. So that means we attach gender and personality to cosmological events. That's what people do, because that's the only way that we can relate. Now, unless I make it personal, I don't know. That's why I don't make things personal, because that nullifies it or it dumbs it down. So Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David. Now, some people will say, well, Brother Will, those are really actually people. Now, I'm not saying that they're not. Just like people say that, oh, well, Brother Will, that is actually, you know, Jesus Christ who walked around on the earth. Everything in the Bible, again, Hebrews 6:1, am I debating and saying that Jesus Christ is not our Lord and Savior? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that I tried to pay my light bill with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it didn't work. That's all I'm saying. See, I have my faith, but my faith without works is dead, because I already tried it, because John Avanzini came to town and he told me, you make $1,000 vow. So I took my rent and I made $1,000 vow. And he said that God has to bless me, you know, 100-fold. Now, I'm a little slow, but I can do the math. 1,000 times 100. Now, I was thinking, ooh, I'm about to get paid. Even if it was just 10 grand, hey, I was cool. But 100,000, I knew I was good. But then when they put my shit out on the street and my daughter was looking at me crying, because I gave the rent and my car payment and everything to the church. Yeah, see, that's when the light comes on. That's when the stuff in your brain starts working. See, a lot of people got fluff. A lot of people talk, and they represent something that they ain't lived. But when you live it, when you go through the experience of it, positive and negative, because all my church experience wasn't positive. I mean, it wasn't negative. I had a lot of good stuff. A lot of great experiences that I can sit here and talk to you about. But let's make sure we understand, because your faith should produce fruit. What kind of fruit, Brother Will? Money? No. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, my faith, it didn't produce fruit. So I had to get some new faith. And now my faith produces fruit. And my fruit has given me freedom. Financial freedom, health freedom, intellectual freedom, relationship freedom. So I'm free in all four areas. Everybody I know, that I talk to, they're not free. That's why I make a lot of money doing what I'm doing, because I talked with a lady last night, a couple of days ago, multimillionaire. And a lot of my clients are. And it's really interesting. The first millionaire client I had, I asked him, man, why are you paying me, dude? You got millions of dollars. I remember because he talked to my wife, and he helped her take her money out of 401 and put it into something that could. And this guy, Caucasian guy, which is a whole other study for another time. So I asked him, I said, man, well, why are you paying me? His dad was a preacher. He was raised in church all of his life. Now, he's married. He's an older guy. He was like my age. I ain't talking about no young dude. $20,000. And I was asking, why are you paying me? Because I always like to watch my high-end clients. I like to ask them that question. Because on paper and on the outside looking in, they're already successful. So why do a successful person have a life coach? Can somebody explain? Now, all of all my folks in Cali, the people that I'm working with, they're all high level, very, very, very successful. Why do they need a life coach? They are successful. And you know what? All of them came out of religion. All of them used to go to church, turn over chairs like me, and they all left. Why? Because deep down inside in their heart, they knew it was a lie. How did they know, though? Because they had no freedom. See, Jesus Christ came that you may have life. Now, you can talk about the symbol. I'm talking about substance. Everybody I know, they want to debate freaking symbols. Those are letters. That's called scriptures. I don't debate. I just educate. Show me your substance. Show me your freedom. Show me your financial freedom. Show me your mental, your intellectual freedom. Show me your health freedom. Show me your relationship freedom. Show me. Yeah, you can't show me. Why is that? Do you not know that Messiah, when we talk about the Messiah, when we talk about that word Messiah, and we look at what that means, we're talking about something that all of the rabbis, and I'm not talking about, I could get into some dangerous stuff, talking about the Kabbalah, which I talked about in my private shows, and all that stuff that I've studied and researched. Messiah ben Joseph refers to Messiah ben Ephraim. E-P-H-R-I-M, Ephraim. Because Joseph's son, Ephraim, or Ephraim, was known as a suffering servant. So in the rabbinical priesthood, Messiah ben Joseph represents innocence and suffering. I've already been through that. So this represents the phases of life that you go through. Everybody goes through suffering. You have to go through, again, crucifixion before you can wear the crown. You got to go through the valley before you went to the mountaintop. I know very few people who are willing voluntarily, like Yahushua did. So it's a story. Yahushua only taught in stories. Those are called parables, because the parables represent what you got to go through in your life. And most people are not willing to. That's why I thank God every day for the suffering that I had in my life. Because when I was going through, when I was a little kid, oh, man, I wouldn't volunteer. I remember going through boot camp, man. I said I would never let it up. That's why I wouldn't go back. You couldn't pay me to go to Marine Corps boot camp again. I would never let another man disrespect me like that again. Now I understand why, though. That was a reason. And so this represents, when we look at the scriptures, brothers and sisters, we're looking at the reason that he's called Messiah ben Joseph is because of the fact that Joseph's life was one of innocence and suffering. What about Joseph and his coat of many colors? Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Yet, while in slavery, Joseph gained acceptance. And he went on to greatness. That's all in Genesis chapter 43. In Genesis chapter 43, that's Messiah ben Joseph. And then Joseph's second appearance, when he comes out and his brothers come to him, and they don't even know he's the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And Joseph is in Egypt. And now, where is he at? He went from the cross to the crown. He went from the prison to the palace. That's you. That's what you're going through. This is a story of what you're supposed to do while you're on this. The whole Bible is about your body. It's the story of what you're supposed to go through when you go through life. And that's the whole, that's Genesis 45 talks about Joseph's reign. Genesis 43 talks about Joseph's suffering. And it talks about how he goes through all of this to get to a place in life. So when we talk about Messiah ben Joseph, we're talking about the suffering aspect of, quote unquote, Jesus Christ. So when Jesus, in Matthew 23:29, when Jesus says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What he's talking about is the fact that when you come in the name of the Lord, Lord, again, means kurios. Kurios means the household management, or it means management of the soul. Mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. When you learn how to manage your soul, that's when you come, and that's when you're able, that's when you're quote-unquote saved, that's when you enter into the house of the Lord. And so when we personify and debate over the personification, the personalization of the individual Christ, Jesus himself said that anybody who do not believe that I came in the flesh is not of God. That's John 10. So what that means inside the flesh, as that's what it says in the ancient text. That means interior. So anybody who do not believe that you got Christ inside of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians 2, man, this is powerful. Colossians chapter 2 says, let's start with verse 16. Let's go up a little bit. Man, I wish I could read the whole thing. How much time we got? Let's go. Colossians 2. 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You are dead because your sins. And because, now remember the word sin. This is, again, critical thinking. What does the word sin mean in the original text? It means hymenoptero. Again, don't believe me. Go to blueletterbible.org, take out your strong concordance, take out your lexicon. Do what I do. Look up the word seven layers deep. That's what I do. Seven. Because based upon psychology, it takes seven times. You got to go seven layers deep to get to the truth. Based upon psychology, when I went through all my psych classes, when I went through, you know, when I was a cop, when I went through the police academy, the time I did stay there and all this stuff, they told us, follow the evidence wherever it takes you. Man, that was the only reason I went to the police academy. And I remember I didn't even go through the whole police academy. I walked out. I was making too much money. I was in New Mexico. I opened up my vision impact photography. I was in the middle. Nobody had ever done this. I was in the middle of the police academy and I walked out. That's how crazy. That's kind of crazy stuff I used to do. But the time that I was there, they told me that at least the one thing I did learn: follow the evidence wherever it leads. Take no preconceived. Well, the fall. I mean, let's say that there's a crime. Husband at home sleep. The wife's dead. He wakes up, finds his wife dead. Intruder. Well, you're not going to investigate the husband. He's in the bed with the wife. 99% of the time, the husband killed the wife. But you never, the husband is, that's why when you always, you just follow the evidence. You don't have, you just don't write off of the husband is not a suspect because he was in bed. All the evidence said that he was in bed with the wife. The windows cracked. There's footprints coming into the house, going up, you know, the blood trauma, everything. All the evidence says the husband is not a suspect. But if you are a good cop, if you are good, you follow the evidence. Nobody's off limits. That's what I did with Christianity. I followed the evidence. Guess what I found? Yeah. What does the evidence say? What you've been taught. It's a story about your body. It's a story about the regeneration process that leads to a glorified body so that way you can return back to source. That's the true destiny of mankind, is to become a part of the God kind. But what does that mean in English? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins. Sins means hamantano. Hamantano means living without your lot, without your share, without your destiny. It didn't say nothing about morality. It says purpose. That's why where purpose is not known, abuse is never. Where vision, where there is, where you cannot see, where you cannot do what I do. What do I do? Awareness. What is awareness? Awareness is the ability to see. What do you see? The evidence. You follow the evidence wherever it goes. You don't come in with a prince. The husband's not, he's innocent. We're not going to even investigate him. Even though his prince is all over the house, his prince is over the weapon, but he lives there, so of course his prince is going to be there. Yeah, but let's look at where the prince are. Well, I used that knife before I went to bed. Now, the husband, he's going to have a good alibi because he lives in the house, so of course his prince is going to be there. Okay, is there a camera? Is there this? Is there that? You got to keep following the evidence. And so the evidence says, we're dead. Why? Because we're not living our life on purpose. We're living our life on time. Because your sinful nature is what? Sinful nature means that you've been designed by God to do certain things, and you're not doing them. That's sin. That sinful nature has cut you off. Then God made you alive with Christ. How did you come alive? How did you come alive? Colossians 2. How did you come alive? With Christ. How come it didn't say Jesus Christ? Now remember, I told you guys, whenever the name Jesus is before Christ, it means something. Whenever the name Christ is before Jesus, that means something totally different. And whenever the name Christ is by itself, that means something totally different. And whenever the name Jesus is by itself, that means something totally different. But if you don't know that, then you're just going to assume everybody does that. So it says, then God made you alive with Christ. And we all know that the word Christ, again, according to the original text, it means oil. It means colostrum. It means the oil that flows down your spinal cord via the pingala and the ida nerves, otherwise known as the kundalini and the kunda buffer. But unless you take biology, you know nothing about the time of the month when the Christ lunar germ seed is planted in your solar plexus and it rises. This is a biological process that takes place every month that all my clients know. I sent you the website that the month that you're supposed to activate the Christ lunar germ seed. Now go to church and say that and watch what happens. Ask them, do they know what the pneumogastric nerve is and why is the spirit called pneuma? P-N-U-E. M-A. And why do you got pneuma in your neck? Can you please explain to why you got a pneuma gastric nerve in your neck that this process passes there, which is called the place of the skull or Golgotha? And why is that in your Bible and why is it in your body? Now, again, the seed, why is it in the beginning was the word? Now, there's a parable that says that the seed is the word. Is that, y'all know that parable, right? That parable in the body, in the Bible. Yes, it's in the Bible too, but there's a parable of the sower. And that's found, was it Matthew 13? Is that right, Father? Yep, Matthew 13. And again, for the sake of time, we're not going to read it. But all it says, that at the end of the parable, it says that the seed, which is the word of God. Now, I did not write that. That's in your Bible. in Matthew chapter 13. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And he goes on, blah, blah, blah. He tells the story. But at the end, it said the kingdom of heaven is like the man who sowed the seed. And he said, and the Bible says, the seed, which is the word of God. That is in your Bible, and it's not in just not in Matthew. It's in quite a few scriptures as well. Mark 4:1 and Luke 8:4. The seed is always referenced to the word of God. The seed is always in reference to the word of God. You have this seed, which is the word of God, planted in your soul in Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means the birth of him. That's what's called Bethlehem. Birth of him, Bethlehem. And it was born in a manger. All of this is a biological process of how oil ascends from that process or from that point based upon, again, all of, and again, any, or I can't say any, but most doctors, they can explain this biological process to you. And everybody who studied and understand what I understand and all of my clients, they already know this. Now, does that negate the biblical or narrative that we've been taught? Absolutely not. It just, you know, if you want to keep the exoteric, absolutely. But you also need to learn the, if you want to keep the exo, great, outside. Make sure you get the eso, inside. Because if we understand all throughout the Bible, there's seven major passages that talk about Messiah, the son of Joseph, known as Messiah ben Joseph. For the sake of time, that's Mark chapter 8, Matthew 8:14. Mark 15:28, Luke 22:37, John 12:37, Acts 8:32, Romans 10:16, 1 Peter 2:24-25. Then there's a lot of other texts in the Talmud. What do these texts talk about? These texts talk about and explain what is known as the Messiah, but the Messiah is the suffering Messiah who's known as Messiah ben Joseph. Then we have Messiah ben David. So this is what is called the two Messiahs. That one is the suffering Messiah. Those were the scriptures I gave you. The second is the ruling Messiah, the king. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, Psalm 72:1-19. The whole Messianic kingdom talks about the Messiah coming to reign. That's why I get my whole Christ consciousness Messianic kingdom or Messianic assembly for the Messianic kingdom. Daniel 7:13, Isaiah 9:6, Luke 1:32, Revelation 19:11-16. Let me see, Psalm 72. I said Isaiah 10:1 already. All of this talks about these two messiahs that come, quote unquote, at different times. Now, this is just a broad level, what I call a broad level overview. You could get into the historical evidence of the similarities between King David and his kingdom. Because remember, Jesus comes, he's called the son of David. So one of the things talks about the king Messiah, a Messiah as king. This represents what I call kingship. That's found in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, which talks about his kingdom or his kingship reign. Excuse me, all of this was foretold about a Messiah coming to bring peace and to establish the Messianic kingdom. So this Messianic kingdom, which is everything I talk about, that's why I have the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. I threw the word millionaires in there because of the number of millionaire clients that I have, and because millionaire is a term that's not associated with spirituality, because it's associated with the world, it's associated with money. But for me, I want to talk about how the Messianic kingdom, or the kingdom, because the word kingdom means basileia. Basileia, again, means kingship reign. It means a mental disposition of dominion, meaning authority, place. So the kingdom has to do with a mindset, and that mindset is similar to what a lot of millionaires have. And that's the whole purpose of the kingdom millionaires, because all the millionaires I talk to, they all have that same disposition that's totally different from all the people that are not millionaires. And what is that? What is the difference? Basileia. What is basileia? What the Bible calls anointed. It's really interesting, and none of them are quote unquote religious, but they all have dominion. What I refer to as white privilege, which is what I call faith. Because faith is what? Faith is acting as if. Faith is maintaining a mental disposition as if. Now, can you be suffering? Can you do like we're talking about in the book of Zechariah when it talks about the suffering Messiah and be successful? Because what is your mental disposition? The forefather takes you through the dark until you learn to see in the dark. At least that's what happened to me. So you go through adversity until you learn that there is no adversity, until you learn that the adversity is the result of a mental disposition that doesn't align up with Philippians 2:5. To me, that's the whole gospel. Philippians 2:5, I'm paraphrasing, you want to look it up for yourself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider Robert to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, meaning he put down his quote-unquote mental mantle. He put down his mental mantle, and he took on a mantle similar to ours to show us how to elevate our mantle back up to his mantle, meaning he became like one of us so that way we can become like one of him, if we want to use that term. So this is all has to do with your mental disposition. Now, the mental disposition leads to the physical activity, but it doesn't start physical. It starts mental. So if you start doing something physical first, that's how you know that you're in for a very long, bumpy ride. Because why? It starts mental. There's a mental disposition. And so when we're talking about these, quote unquote, when we talk about Jesus, Messiah, letters are a symbol of a deeper substance. Jesus Christ is a symbol of a deeper substance. Everything that you're talking and debating about is a symbol. Now, you can argue and debate about the symbol, but you are going to miss the deeper substance. Me, I don't debate symbols. I look for substance. So the people who are debating about the symbol, very few have the substance. So I'm not interested in the symbol. I'm interested in the substance. So when I talk about letters, and I do dictionary reports, I tell everybody, I call myself Master Teacher 33. So can I go and pay my bill by saying I am a Master Teacher 33? They're going to say 33. What does that mean? Is that some kind of occult number? Is that Freemason? Is it this, that, that? Everybody want to talk to me about, hey, dude, why do you call yourself Master Teacher 33? What does that mean? Well, that's my life path number. Okay, what does that mean? That don't mean nothing. It's just a number. But the number has substance behind it. Let's talk about the substance. That's what I do every day. I got substance. That gives me substance. So what do you got? Okay, you got Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, what substance do you got behind that? What does that do? How does that help you pay your light bill? How does that make you a better father? How does it make you a better husband? How does that, you know, help you with your health? So that way you're not dying of preventable diseases. How does that help you maintain? How does that help you have a relationship with your neighbor? How does that help you? So if there is no substance, then that means you got the wrong symbol. The symbol is not wrong. Your interpretation of that symbol may be wrong. So I just said that Jesus represents his body. Christ represents the oil. Crucified in the ancient text means amplified. So when I say Jesus Christ crucified, I'm saying amplified oil in the body. That's what all the ancient text is saying. It says, okay, how do you amplify your oil? Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 kept their oil, 5 did not. And the 5 that did not have their oil in their body, they could not go into the bridegroom or go in with the bridegroom. That's the story of us. If you don't keep the oil, the Christ oil that's in the middle of your back from your sacrum pump and all the stuff in my private group, y'all already know everything that we're supposed to be doing, that everybody's supposed to be doing. That all of the ancients, this is all in the Essene Gospel of Peace, but that's not a canonized book. Why? You think they're going to tell you how to do everything so that way you don't suffer? They want to keep you on the cross. They don't want you to wear the crown. So there is an asserted effort for us to continue talking about Jesus on the cross. Why is Jesus always depicted in the manger on every Christmas? Why they never depict him rising in the cloud? Remember, cloud means colostrum. He's coming back in the book of Revelation. He's coming back with a cloud. And why is he on a white horse? Remember, inside the brain, there's a little white horse. It's the Ammon's horn right above the hippocampus in the brain. We've already went through all that with all the private class. And we're going to continue going through that. So for the rest of 2019, we're destroying all the stuff, and I'm giving people power. Because what you're going to do is you take this and you implement it. So you do what I do. which is what I get from the Essene Gospel of Peace. Because Jesus said when he cast out demons, what did he do? According to the Essene Gospel of Peace, he basically did it, what we call an enema. He did a colonic. So why do, when I do a watermelon fast, what happens? The stuff that comes out of my rectum, you don't want to see. But why is that? Because according to the Essene Gospel of Peace, that's Beelzebub, according to, the non-canonized text. So why isn't it canonized when they tell you stuff so that way you're healthy? Every time I go to the doctor, again, same thing. Blood pressure, cholesterol, sugar, perfect. Like I'm freaking 30. And I ain't nowhere near 30. Why is that? I go to the gym 3 times a day. Why is that? I sleep 3-4 hours, I drink tea. Why is that? Am I Superman or I'm super this, that, and the other? No. I just got what's called basic common sense. But where did I get it from? I got it from Yahushua, who was an Essene, who was from Nazareth. That's why he got the term Nazarene. But this is what I call basic physiology, basically biology, All of this, now we could talk about and still debate, because you should be saying, well, a lot of people say, well, Brother Will, you still didn't say anything or didn't answer anything about whether, Jesus Christ really existed or not. Personally, I care less whether he existed or not, whether he actually walked on earth or not. Because what is salvation? Now, you got to think outside the box. So remember, when I got saved, I had an altar call. I walked down. I got saved for fire insurance. Because the guy said that if you walk out this building and you drop dead, you're going to bust hell wide open. I had a thought. That probably wouldn't be good. It's eternity in hell. So out of fear, not out of faith, I responded. Then I had another altar call. January the 1st of 2009, sitting in an apartment by myself with a loaded 45 in my hand. Or a loaded Glock in my hand. Because I wanted to end my life, because I had already committed interstate fraud. I knew I wasn't going to jail because I used to work in the jail. I knew I went to work. There was 5 cops there waiting for me. I stole the money and by the time I put it back there, they already figured that I stole the money. I went out and brought my daughter a car for a graduation present because I made a promise. And again, this is my middle daughter. And I knew that my life was over because I knew I wasn't going to jail. That's when I got saved. There was no crowd. There was no reverend, no doctor, no bishop. There was no burning bush. I heard no audible voice. But I felt the presence of God because I knew at that place, that's when I met God face to face. That's when I had a true altar call, and there was no fear. It was just a simple man who was lost. I had tried everything, and I could not figure it out for myself. And I knew that the God that I had, he didn't work, at least not for me. Maybe he worked for you. He didn't work for me. I had already tried 10-plus years preaching, teaching, laying hands on people, doing all the stuff, and I was fake. I wasn't real. So I needed to encounter the real living God, because I had read dead books written by dead men, and that gave me a dead God. I wanted the living God. And on January the 1st of 2009, I prayed. And I said, Father, if you are real, because I don't think you are, but if you are, you got to find me, because I already tried to find you. And you don't exist on this planet. Because I've had enough experiences that proved to me that everywhere I look for you, I couldn't find you. And from that day until this day, there has not been a day, a second, or a moment in my life that I don't sense the presence of God like I do right now. Because I knew that it has nothing to do with tradition, and it had nothing to do with what I've been taught. I knew that everything that I had been taught was designed to keep me a good house Negro, because it was given to me by this harmonious arrangement that has nothing to do with race. But it has to do with the prince of the power of the air. And his name is Samael, the blind God. Oh, we got a lot of other names too. But Samael is the book, the God of this world. That I wrote that book, 10 years ago. That breaks down, was in all of the ancient texts. But for some miraculous, it's not inside the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, tomorrow we'll continue. What tomorrow is Sunday. Monday we'll continue with part 3, where we get more into some of the ancient rabbinical legends, if you want to use that term, that investigates and breaks down Messiah ben David. And a little bit more of Messiah ben Joseph as we talk about what the pharaohs, because the pharaohs called Joseph, I can't even pronounce it, it's Zaphanan Phaniah. It has a double meaning in the Hebrew and in ancient Egypt because of Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. This is found in Amos chapter 8. Verse 11 in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. We're going to go through Amos 8. We're going to go through Zechariah 14. And then we're going to break down Revelation chapter 20. And a little bit on Revelation 25 as well as we continue to break down again this story of understanding Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what did the scenes have to do with this whole idea based upon the Christian text and the Maserat Jews and how they took out jots and tittles, if you will. So we want to continue to break that down in part three. Also in part three, we want to talk a little bit about just for the people who are not part of my private group, get a little bit of the history into the biblical words that have biological meaning. So that way people can make the connection who are not part of the private group of the biological significance of the Bible. That is why the Bible is the most powerful book on earth, as I talk about inside of my book, The Biology of the Temple. So we're going to read a little bit of that also in part three. So definitely stick around for that. We'll do that on Monday. So I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. Again, may the forefather continue to lead you, bless you. Remember, according to the book of Revelations, the entire word is the name of God. He has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. May the Pneuma Gastric, may the Pneuma, Hebrew, and the Ruach, I'm sorry, Pneuma, Greek, Ruach, Hebrew, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because remember, I can't tell you nothing. I'm just reminding you what you already know. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth, not me. So the Holy Spirit, that's how I got it. That's the only way you're going to get it. I'm just here to remind you of stuff. But when you go home tonight and you sit in your quiet time, that's when the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
If you don't get it, pass, repeat, and go. Yeah. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my
sleep.